Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stutzer.
And it's good to be here with Daniel Lim.
All right. Hey, you know, today we have a fascinating question from Toby about finding a location to meet for your church plants. So let's listen in.
Hi, I'm a realtor in North Idaho. I was recently approached by one of my clients who wants to start a church. So I took him to the local mall and we found some space that's absolutely perfect for the project that they have, the church plant project. But when we went to the mall management told us that we could not actually use this space at all because it's a house of worship. And when I inquired why, because it is against all the training that I've received about discrimination against religious groups and other civil liberties, the answer was that there's an anchor store that has a contract that limits houses of worship from being able to use the rest of the mall. So I wanted to know if you had any idea or if you've heard of this before and if there was anything we could do to confront that, if it's confrontable.
All right. So this is either going to be like the most fascinating episode or the shortest one. Yeah. Have you heard of this before? An anchor store preventing a church?
Yeah. Okay. So there's some weirdness here. So a couple of things. First of all, this is a very common thing. Lots of malls. There's one famous thing. Go to churchonthemall.com. You can actually see a church that bought a mall. So you can all just buy the whole mall and just be done with that. But basically, you know, the issue here, in answer to your question, when you look at the restrictions in a mall, sometimes the restrictions have to do with, and this is where it's a little strange. So first, he's correct, right? There are, there are very specific rules and laws that, keep churches from being zoned out of different areas. And this might have, you know, this might not be true forever, and it's not always the same in Canada. And I would say too, and we recognize we have listeners around the world, that this may not be true in Manila for all we know, for that matter. But most of the time, malls, just if someone wants to, you know, rent the space, why would they not want to rent the space? Well, a couple of reasons that they don't. One is it's specifically restricted for, well, you said places of worship, because the places of worship do not collaboratively create foot traffic for the benefit of the other tenants in the mall. Okay. So basically you have one thing on Sunday, and what happens is when a mall sort of begins to rent to single use gatherings, that the end result is that it reduces foot traffic, and sometimes stores have created caveats in their contract that say you can't do that. It also could be, and you'd have to ask more questions about this, but it could be also that, you know, for example, office, sometimes it's restricted from offices. Now, what's happening is we're in a great mall rethink. It's just tricky because what happens is malls are closing down or rethinking or shrinking or consolidating in all kinds of places, so that the church becomes more of what's called a mixed use space. So that's better than a single use space, where maybe someone's just saying, well, just have offices. Let's say it's a medical center and nobody's going in to shop at anything else. So so the first tier tenants, this is the way they tend to think, is the first tier tenants are fellow retail. You know, if you're going to shop for makeup, you're going to also look for handbags. I don't know. I just made that up. But then the second tier is churches, because they have some traffic, but they're not as bad as some things where it's just, you know, it's a medical office. You just go, you don't do anything else. So so that could be part of it, and it could be restrictive in the covenant. I would be surprised it said houses of worship could be, but that seems very, that's restricting on the content of the speech rather than or the action. The other thing is, in some places, There are certain activities that take place in a mall, like a restaurant that serves alcohol. And in some places, you can, and of course, other stores want that. So a store would want a restaurant in a mall, brings foot traffic, right? It's they would want you know, a restaurant that, you know, to serve alcohol to be in a mall, foot traffic. And in some zoning areas, you can't have a restaurant that serves alcohol. You can't serve alcohol within a certain distance of a church. So it's a defensive move to say, you know, so First Presbyterian moves into the mall, and that means, you know, Applebee's can't serve whatever. I think of Applebee's as the atypical, as the typical mall experience. So my guess is those are the two things. Now, I would say that if you, you know, and again, it's different in the U.S. and Canada. I'm not as familiar with the zoning laws in Canada, but there are, you know, pretty specific, and this was a few years ago and it may change, but it's called the, first of all, there was the Religious Land Use, you can hear the phrase, right? The Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000 basically said you had to have a, what they call a compelling government interest about zoning. Now, malls are not zoning, but it does sort of give some of the examples. So some of the examples where it might, zoning might push out of church are traffic concerns, right? So if you rent to a really large church and all the mall spaces were filled, well, traffic, you know, might have a genuine reality. So there are issues that can be impacted by that. For example, you know, the mall could have water supply or, you know, bathroom issues. Can we have, you know, I don't know how big the church is. Can we have, it's a church plant. So can we have 300 people suddenly in there right before? So there are some reasons. I would, if I were this realtor, I would ask the question why, and try to get follow up more. Can I get some more information on why this restriction is in place with another tenant? Because as we understand it, you know, we would be a good client, we would be a good tenant, we would be good for the place. My guess is, if it's a mall, my guess is they're hungry for a tenant. And if that's the case, then why not us?
Yeah. That okay. I did not know. I mean, I don't know why I'm even surprised, because the amount of facts that you have in that brain of yours, Ed. So, okay, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and then I have a few follow-up questions. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's B-E-L-A-Y solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. All right, Ed. So that, yeah, once again, that is just absolutely fascinating. I love what you said earlier about, okay, let's not immediately go to the, hey, this chain hates religion.
Right. It's the Satanist store in the mall. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
There are valid business reasons that, yeah. I'm not saying they're right, but I'm saying that they are some valid business reasons why people would be less enthusiastic about renting a church.
Yeah, and that's why I think engaging in that dialogue on the why side of things would be huge, because you're right. I mean, the number, I like how you even brought it higher up and said, okay, what are malls even going to look like in the next year or 2 years as retail continues to shut down?
This is a business you do not want to be in right now in the mall business. This is not a good thing right now. And who knows? You know, we just, so you know, people are familiar, we're in what's called a retail apocalypse.
Yeah,
where basically, you know, we're seeing retail decimated all over, and simultaneously we're in a restaurant renaissance where everyone, now this, you know, COVID slowed that down. I don't think it'll stay slowed down. So a lot of, so keep in mind, malls may be moving more into like that food court, which was always the low end sort of place to have your, you know, your Orange Julius. That food court, now it's on the outside. So you'll see the Cheesecake Factories and the, you know, and all these nice restaurants.
Oh, that's right.
And again, there may be zoning and related alcohol things, but you know, alcohol, we don't, we need to run them out. Anyway, sorry, that's the anti-alcohol in me speaking up and speaking out. Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's that is interesting. So I think for you, Toby, as a realtor, and for everyone else listening in that same sort of situation, even if you're looking at a larger space or needing to have a larger space, recognizing that you might even have some leverage in the sense of, hey, you know, to a owner of a mall or to the owner of a strip mall, I mean, it's guaranteed income, right? It's filling up that space, but being able to cultivate that relationship and not just being in, you know, overtly divisive or being like, oh, how, this is my right. Of course you have to let me do it. I am a, you know, here's the Constitution. And instead of going down that way, having that dialogue would just be incredibly important.
Well, and I would just say that it's going to get tricky because it's not the same thing as a zoning issue. So it's kind of like people get mad that they get kicked off Twitter. You know, Twitter's a private platform.
Yeah.
And a mall's a private platform as well. By the way, I think I gave early on, I said church on the mall. So church on the mall and church at the mall, two of things. Church on the mall is this fascinating thing that you can actually go to both these websites. But that was when I talk about buying the mall, that was the church in Lakeland, which is a church at the mall. So anyway, the point is that it does get tricky though. Private owners, now that doesn't mean that, you know, that we leave our religious liberty at the door. I think ultimately there is a question to be said. Why would you, how strange would it be? Would you want to, you know, to restrict this access? But I mean, I'd want to know what's the business reason and
that's right.
And more and see if
you might
be
able to work with it. Yeah. You might be able to work with that.
Right. The thing is that my guess is, and please forgive me if you're like a mall owner, my guess is you're really thirsty for a mall tenant right now. And unless it drastically undermines your business model, which I don't think a church generally does, this might be, I mean, as a matter of fact, if you just Google, in fact, we can put it in the show notes. There's a Wall Street Journal article. For some struggling malls, churches offer second life. So, you know, lease of faith. This is why churches are going into malls. So these are just some things. We'll drop these in the show notes so you can take a look at them as well. But this is kind of a thing. I mean, this is what's strange is that, I mean, malls are actually sometimes going to churches and saying, hey, we got space for you. So what's up with this one? And I don't know. I'd like to know more. Yeah. In fact, I'd be interested to know if he finds out, have him holler at us and let us know, because I'd be kind of intrigued to know what was the thinking. Now, just so you know, sometimes the difference is between a strip mall, which is more open to churches than a you know, enclosed mall. But what I would say is I think ultimately, you know, you have to have probably Sunday morning is a little tricky because malls, the timing when malls open, that sort of stuff. But my guess is he wouldn't be going someplace that was closed on a Sunday morning anyway. So so it'd probably be something either strip mall or something with external doors that you could get in and out of.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Toby, there you go. Here, we hope this episode has helped, and we would love for you to leave another voicemail, and then we can address this in a follow-up podcast as well.
Can I say, I bet this is the first time we've ever had a realtor call on the podcast. So that's kind of
it's true.
Fun fact. We need to like see, let's get a plumber next. Let's get a plumber, a realtor. Let's see how many professions could leave a question here at New Churches. Hey, thanks, Toby. God bless.